Good morning. This is Mark Mace, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that, Lord, we have just to take a few moments out of our schedule, Lord, and just to draw our attention to you this morning through your written word. And I'm asking you, Lord, this morning to allow the Holy Spirit of God to, Father, use your word in our hearts and our lives to challenge each and every one of us. And Lord, from that challenge, produce a change in us. And Lord, may that change be something that you could use to bring honor and glory to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us this day to live for you and to live like you. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. I'm in a series and have been for some time on Tuesday's times, the broadcast, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. And what I'm simply doing is going through the book of Proverbs, identifying principles that we as believers ought to be or should be or very soon could, if we would, put into practice in our everyday living. You know, one of the things about Christianity that distinguishes us, I hope, is that true Christianity is something that is lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is not a religion that we practice on the weekends and then we sort of give almost no regard to it for the remainder of the week. This is not a religious practice that we have. This is a relationship that we have with the Creator, the Lord God Jehovah, the one that spoke this world into existence. And we have that relationship and fellowship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we look for biblical principles, we're looking for things that God has taught us to live like. And take these principles, put them into practice in our everyday life. You know, most of the Christian life, obviously, is lived outside of the church. Unfortunately, sometimes people place the most emphasis on the Christianity while in the church, and it ought to be outside of the church. And that's where we take the gospel message to the world, through our voice as we share the gospel, but also through the life that we live, through our conversation, not our speech, but our code of conduct. As the world sees Christ in us, they see the hope of glory. And that's our goal, that's our purpose, to let Christ be seen in us. We are the only epistle or the only letter that the world will see or read from the Word of God often. And before they ever pick up a Bible and read it, they will read our lives. And we must ask ourselves, what are they reading when they look at our life and our actions? And so we're in Proverbs 17, verse 4, looking at this principle. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Some of us may or may not use this word, credulous. I think most of us have heard of it. Some may or may not know what it means. But it simply means apt to believe without sufficient evidence, unsuspecting or easily deceived. You know, sometimes Christians can be credulous. In other words, they're quick to believe something without having sufficient evidence to believe it. I know that years that's gone around on the emails and different things about different reports, and boy, gets some Christians all worked up, and they start calling the congressman and whatever, and come to find out it's just a big scam. And I think the world loves to make fun of Christianity when we take something that has no sufficient evidence and we start sharing it with everybody else, and then the world says, see there, they're just a bunch of gullible people. They'll believe anything. Watch this. And we as Christians, we need to make sure we are not credulous, that we don't easily believe things without having sufficient evidence to believe it. The world likes to laugh and make fun of us because we believe in creation in 6 days. Well, there is sufficient evidence to believe that. Very much sufficient evidence. Number one, we've got God's Word, but we also have science itself. Science, I think, absolutely lends to the credibility of the story of the book in the book of Genesis of God's creation. So we're not just believing some fairy tale, as the world likes to accuse us of. They are the ones that are believing the fairy tale that there is no God and that evolution had a process. Science doesn't back that up at all. Of course, that gets them all riled up and mad, but the truth of it is, and they know this to be true, there is no science that supports or proves evolution. but there is sufficient evidence from science of the creation story, the Noah's flood, and so forth. And so we're not to be credulous. We're not to be easily duped into believing something just because it happens to fit our template of thought process. You know, that's what the world does. They cipher through news, or they will edit their news broadcast to make it fit their template. You know, truth to them is a hindrance. Facts are a hindrance to them. They don't want to know the truth. They want to know what they want to believe. And so they go out and they look up information, and they are willing to believe a lie. So we need to understand that as Christians, that we're not to live that way. You know, a wicked doer and a liar are the ones that are easily believe in what is told them without considering the truthfulness of a matter. Some of them sometimes even, dare I say, rejoice or enjoy the untruthfulness that's told to them. Matthew Henry says something about this verse this way. He says, "Those that design to do ill support themselves by falsehood and lying. A wicked doer gives ear with a great deal of pleasure to false lips that will justify him in his ill that he does. To those that aim to make public disturbances catch greedily at libels and false stories that defame the government and administration." In other words, they're looking for something that fits their template. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to fit their template, and they're willing to believe it. And matter of fact, they'll embrace it and take hold and guard that untruth, that lie, because it fits their template. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 7 through 11, talks about Saul and David. The Bible says, "Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, 'Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse,'" of course that's David, "'and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day?' Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, 'I saw the son of Jesse come unto Nob, and Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and to his father's house the priests that were at Nob, and they came all of them to the king.'" And of course, Saul had Ahimelech killed because Doeg had lied about him, told him that he had gone to inquire the Lord for David. And David had been less than honest with Ahimelech to begin with, but he certainly was not guilty of what Doeg had convinced Saul that he was guilty of. In other words, here's Saul. He was willing to believe a lie. He was so beside himself. He was so unsettled. He was so insecure that when somebody told him something, he readily grabbed a hold of it and took it for facts, and that supported his agenda, and he got rid of Ahimelech. He killed him, but in Saul's mind, he was willing to believe a lie. It didn't matter if it was true or not. It just fit the template. Everybody's against me. Nobody likes me, and I'm going to do something about it. Just give me a reason to do something. And of course, that's what he did. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, Christians can act that way. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 4, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Well, think about that verse. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Boy, you take that verse and set it beside you while you read the newspaper or while you watch the news broadcast, and see if that verse doesn't just have all kinds of truth wrapped all around it. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Think about that the next time you hear the news report. Think about that the next time you hear about some of our broadcasters as they force upon us their agenda and their template. They forsake the law. Boy, they praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, such as those who really want truth, they will contend with them. They're not satisfied with some made-up story. They want the facts. Doesn't matter where the facts go. They just want the facts. And yet there is a portion of society, a portion of the press, that they don't want the facts. They just want something that fits their template. And many in the world today are living exactly this way. God's people certainly should not. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10, the Bible says, "Which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." In other words, they didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted to be told a lie. Isn't it a shame? They wanted to be told a lie. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Boy, that's interesting. They will not endure sound doctrines. In other words, they don't want to hear the truth. Don't tell me the truth. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what fits my agenda. Tell me what fits into my template. The Bible says, "But after their own lust, after their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." In other words, out of their own desires, they'll find somebody who'll tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. In other words, don't confuse me. Don't confuse me with the facts. Just tell me what I want to hear. And we live in a day and age which, surprisingly enough, and it's almost hard to believe, but yet it's so evident, you can't do anything but believe it, is that we have a portion of our society today that the facts don't matter to them. They just don't matter because it doesn't fit their template. All they want is for somebody to tell them something that supports what they think to be true. And boy, once they can find somebody to tell them that, off to the races they go. Man, they don't care if it's true or not. They just want to have somebody else say what they think. And we, unfortunately, we have people in the press that do this on a daily basis. That the facts don't matter. They just find somebody that says something that they like, and they just go with it. Boy, we need to be so careful who we're listening to. And so we're warned with the reality of dealing with the world in this verse. They would rather believe a lie than they would believe the truth. We need to be aware of what's going on around us today. We need to be aware of when we're in the arena of the world and the world's philosophy and the world's way of living. Facts often do not matter. And they are often seen as a hindrance more than they are a help. And may God help you and me as Christians this morning to understand there's a biblical principle. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And so that's the society I believe we live in. And we need to be aware of it. And there's some principles. Number one, we need to make sure we're not credulous. We're not willing to believe without sufficient evidence. Our philosophy should be something like this. All right, I hear you talking. Now I want to check it out, make sure that the facts back up what you've said. And that ought to be when we sit down and we listen to a preacher. Okay, I've heard what you said. Now I want to go read and study the Bible. I'm going to make sure that what you just told me is actually in the Bible. And that we're commanded to live that way. We're not to just believe any old thing that the preacher says or any old thing that some denomination says or some scholar says, some great Bible scholar. So what? Big deal. What's the Bible say? It doesn't matter how many degrees you have behind your name or how educated you are. What matters, is it truth? Is it right? And we need Christians to stand up today and not be impressed with degrees and positions of life, but we need to be impressed with God's Word. We need to be impressed with truth, and we need to search it out and find it out. That's a principle we need to live by, and a day and age in which we live, we really need to take heed to this principle. And may God help us to do so. There's also another principle I'd like just to mention quickly. I won't spend a lot of time on it this morning because time is running out. But in verse 5, the Bible says, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished." I want to emphasize or sort of draw the attention this morning to that last part of that verse. He that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. You know, unfortunately, sometimes people, even Christians, are sometimes we're almost rejoicing when something befalls somebody in a negative way. In other words, it was like, good, they deserve that. I'm glad that happened to them. You know, that ought not ever be said from us, and it ought not ever be thought of from us as well. We're not to do that. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 24, verses 17 through 18, "Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. And let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 4, God commanded Israel, if thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Notice, if you meet your enemy's ox or ass going astray, not the friends, not their neighbors only, but their enemies, they were to make sure that they got their animals back to them. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:21, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. And certainly as Christians, we should never be guilty at being glad when calamities take place in someone's life. Even though you may say, well, you know, you reap what you sow, and you know, and that's good for you. I'm glad it happened. You know, that's not the spirit of Christ. What did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Stephen, when he's being stoned to death, the very people are stoning him. He asked God to forgive them, to be merciful if he would, because they didn't really understand what they were doing. He wanted God to have compassion upon those who were not having compassion upon him. He didn't want anything bad to happen to them. He wanted God to forgive them. He wanted God to be merciful to them. You know, I think a true mark of Christianity and God's love in us is when we begin to pray for our enemies that they wouldn't have to endure the chastening or the judgment, that we would pray that God would deliver them from that and enable them to return and repent and have God's grace. I believe that's a strong evidence when we've allowed Jesus Christ and his spirit to begin to rule in our hearts. But unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians out there with a lot of animosity. It's almost like we rejoice when the enemy falls. We are not to do that. Not only are we not to do that, we're not even to think it. We shouldn't even have those desires. But we all know the truth is that oftentimes because of our flesh, we do inwardly rejoice. And sometimes you'll hear somebody actually say it out loud, audibly, and they're rejoicing because so-and-so had such-and-such happen, and boy, they got their dues, and boy, I'm glad to see it. See how they like it now. Well, that's not the spirit of Christ, and may God deliver us from that attitude. Unfortunately, I've seen it in preachers. I've seen it in deacons. I've seen it in church members. I've even seen it in myself, I'm sure. And so it's an ugly sin. It really is. And has no part in Christianity. May God deliver us from that. We're to pray for our enemies. We're to pray for God to help them, to nurture them, to change their hearts so that they can receive the grace and the mercy of God just like you and I have. And may God help us to take this principle and really put it into practice. We really need to do that. It is important for us. It is absolutely important. David said, and I'll close with this, in Psalm 35, verses 1 through 16, I'll not read it all, but in the midst of that portion of Scripture, Psalm 35, 1 through 16, David had some enemies, and they had really come against him. And the Bible records David saying this, but as for me, talking about his enemies, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my bosom. I behaved myself as though they had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. That's how David responded to his enemies who were attacking him. May God help us to have the same type of attitude where we pray for those who despitefully use us. May God grant us the grace to live this way. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.